Hello and welcome to Ask the Mayor on WFIU. I'm Joe Wren. First week of February. As always, we're in Columbus, this time on Zoom with Mayor Jim Lineup at City Hall. Hello, welcome. Also, Happy New Year. I didn't get to see you in early January.
Yeah, well, welcome again back to Columbus, even though it's virtually or electronically. But yeah, in early January, my wife and I were taking our son back to New York City, and so we were not able to meet up. And so glad to be back here. Even though it's still January, we're now prepared for February, right? And then that's the month that we're talking about. So yeah, good to be here.
Well, again, thanks. Appreciate your time. Let's just start with wanted to point out, hate to start the show this way, but it's just the nature of reality that calls for concern. There in Columbus and care though too. 200 Columbus residents reported stood against Asian hate after the Bloomington transit incident recently. You know, great sign of support of a neighboring community. It's something, you know, we say all the time. You know, it's just the beginning of what needs to be done though, right?
Right. You know, Columbus and Bloomington are a lot alike in many respects. You take the students away from Bloomington, we're really close to the same size. And so we've got a lot in common. And the people who live here felt a loss with respect to what happened in Bloomington. And maybe a trite phrase, but we share the pain, if you will. And so it was important to us to recognize that and to add our voice to the concern, you know, that had been expressed, not only with respect to what happened in Bloomington, but, you know, just a few days prior to that, there had been an incident out in Los Angeles that had targeted an Asian a nightclub, I believe, I think, a gathering place. And so, again, we want to let people know that we do care about everybody's safety, and particularly those who maybe are new to this country, or maybe their families, if they're a slightly different ethnicity or skin color or accent or whatever might make them a little bit different than mainstream folks like you and me. So yeah, we wanted to take the opportunity to have that discussion, and I thought it was very well attended. I was kind of surprised that we had that many people there, but we did. And so, like I say, it I thought spoke well for our community, and was glad to be able to host it.
And now, you know, we're dealing with the deadly beating of Tyre Nichols. And I see you were part, as many mayors and officials, in a statement that was released about that as well.
Correct. And once again, you know, we wanted to add our voice to that of others, that just, you know, make it clear that there is no place for this kind of activity in our society, in a civilized society. And want people to understand that we are committed to training police officers and training others that you don't behave this way, that there are other ways to go about what you want to do that don't resort in violence, that don't leave people incapacitated or, you know, near death. And so that's what happened to this young man. And I just couldn't feel worse about it. It is something that we try hard to avoid, and to see that it happened, and that it happened in a city that I want to say Memphis is 600,000. So they're 10, 11 times bigger than Columbus, 12 times larger. Yeah, they should have a consistent a police program that's consistent with that size, and they just didn't. And that's really discouraging. So once again, wanted to let people know that we do care, and that we want to speak out against that kind of activity. I'll meet tomorrow. I've got a meeting with Sheriff Lane and Bartholomew County Sheriff Chris Lane. And that'll be one of the topics of conversation, you know, just have we done everything we can do, you know, to try to address something like that before it happens, you know, in our community.
Wanted to follow up briefly on the downtown fire we covered that was back in December. Has been ruled, I believe, still undetermined. So there was no official cause to that fire?
No official known cause, correct. And that was really a result of the destruction that occurred. The investigators who would have otherwise gone in there and tried to determine the cause were not safe. And so they declined to enter and reported that whatever you want to call that, declination to the Indiana State Fire Marshal, who agreed that there was no real need in this case to do any further investigation. I drove by there at lunchtime today, and I would estimate about a third of the building is down. The third of it that is closest to the remaining structure that used to house the Chamber of Commerce. So we had tried to encourage the owners to get busy, you know, with respect to the demolition of that building, because we believed that it was a safety hazard for anybody who might walk or drive along Fifth Street or Franklin Street, much less the alleys in that area. And so I'm really pleased to see that they've made some progress, and would hopefully at the rate they're going, they'll be done here within a couple of weeks. Because what we want to do is reopen the streets and the alleys. It's just Fifth Street in that area is an important traffic avenue or traffic lane, it's a couple lanes for us. And the deliveries the alleys facilitate deliveries, trash pickup and so forth that, you know, have been hampered by the closure. So I'm hopeful within a couple of weeks we'll be back to business as normal.
I see a few streets down from 5th over on 2nd. The city's looking to add parking and traffic calming devices? What's needed there and why?
Well, there's a couple of things going on. One is that we have had a few accidents near the jail. If you're familiar with the downtown area here in Columbus, the jail sits on 2nd Street, and the predominant parking for the jail is across 2nd Street. So we've got a need for visitors to the jail to cross that, what is it, three lanes of State Road 46 all headed in the same direction. And it's just a challenge for anybody who wants to do that. So we've had conversations for a while in terms of traffic calming devices. We've talked about a hawk signal, some way to stop traffic, you know, if a pedestrian, you know, presses a button. And we have in the plans that we have, and hope to be able to build a hotel conference center on that block. You know, the Indiana Department of Transportation has been reluctant to spend the money that would result in a hawk signal. So, you know, we've backed away from that, and now we're taking a look at a way to try to, as we say, calm traffic. And, you know, the traffic engineers tell us a couple of things. One is that if you design a 2 or 3 lane road where the lanes are 12 or 14 feet wide and you can look forward and see a mile, well, that looks an awful lot like an interstate, and people tend to drive to the environment that they're in. Maybe we would like for them to drive to this posted speed limit, but sometimes they don't do that. And even though this passes right in front of the jail, the sheriff's department and our police department, it's not always easy for us to patrol that area. And so one of the suggested solutions is to calm the traffic, to change that vision, you know, so that that's not what you see as you're driving down through that thoroughfare. And among the ways to do that are to narrow the lanes, you know, get something down. Not where it's going to be a problem, we probably still maintain one 12-foot lane because we do get a bunch of truck traffic and the occasional oversized load, you know, on that street. But to narrow the lanes and to provide for on-street parking. And again, this will, you know, just sort of change the visual effect that you get when you're driving down through there. And we think that that will be instrumental in getting people to slow down. We also talk about what's called bump outs. And so at the various corners, you may push the curb, if you will, out a lane on either side so that those pedestrians who want to cross don't have quite as much pavement to cover. I mean, you know, they start out, you know, at one lane into the road, so to speak, before they have to get off the sidewalk. And it's all designed to try to slow traffic down and make it a little bit safer for pedestrians. And that's what we're talking about. And it, part of this came about when we had our Envision Columbus process that we completed at this point, maybe 4 years ago. And the whole notion was to try to slow traffic on 2nd and 3rd Streets. And part of that emphasis there is to enhance retail. You know, we don't have a lot of retail going on right now on either of those, but we would like to have some. And so part of what we want to do is to create an environment that's conducive to that. At the same time, the conversations that we had with the hotel developer indicated a desire also for a calmer traffic. And if you think about it, it just makes sense in terms of having a I'll tell you, a pull off or pull back on, you know, a place where somebody who's coming up to unload their luggage can get off the roadway and get their luggage off and then get back on the roadway without getting tied up in a bunch of traffic. And so we want to try to be receptive to those kinds of thoughts. And that's really what's behind trying to slow down the traffic there on Second Street. We don't have a program yet for Third, but that should follow within a couple of months.
Are there designs and so forth ready to go for Second Street, or just still in discussion right now?
We've got a few. We've got some thoughts. I hate to call them designs, but yeah, we've got the folks in the engineering department. We've got a couple of PEs on staff here, and they've sat down and said, "Well, you could do this or you could do that." And what we really need is somebody who studies this, spends their full time efforts at trying to manage traffic and traffic flow to sort of help us understand, you know, what really makes the most sense, in this case. And so yeah, we've hired an engineering firm that will do that, and hopefully they report back to us in short order. And then we have to approach the Indiana Department of Transportation, because even though we call it Second Street and we refer to it as a city street, it's a state highway, and so they have jurisdiction, about what happens there. But in our preliminary conversations with them, they've been supportive of what we want to do. They kind of get the notion that, it's a little dangerous for pedestrians, and it's a little bit of an impediment to the in what we would consider to be the investment that we want private industry to make in that area.
And I know we've talked about it. I don't know if it would be called a committee or commission. We're looking at parking downtown too, and heard about reduced parking enforcement. But I don't know the context that's in. Do you have anything on that?
Well, yeah, we have taken a look. We've been looking. I'm sure it's no different in a lot of other communities, but parking, downtown parking, has been a topic of conversation for decades. And for decades, we thought, well, what we needed was a parking garage. That would be the solution. Well, now we've got three parking garages, and we're still talking about downtown parking. Now, the environment has changed considerably with the pandemic. We just don't have the downtown traffic that we had at one time. But pre-pandemic, we found ourselves in a situation where, there were folks who were just going to park downtown, and it didn't matter to them what the sign said or what the fine was. I mean, that's just what they were going to do. And, we're really kind of reluctant to get in there and either boot cars or tow them. But we felt like that's where we were headed. We never went there. And part of the reason was that the pandemic came along and kind of reduced the demand for parking in the garages or on the street. And we find ourselves today in a situation where we believe, based on, anecdotal evidence and some observations, that we don't have quite the turnover in parking that we would like on Washington Street. And that seems to be the focus of our attention. I mean, that's where the majority of the merchants are. And, the people who have noticed that there isn't the turnover that they would like. I mean, I don't know what the average length of stay is for a shopper in a store or a shopper in an area. If you go to the mall, how long do you stay before you get back in your car and go out? Maybe you visit 2-3 stores. And so we want to try to have a comparable experience in the downtown area. And so we've begun to think that, well, we'll focus on Washington Street and begin to enforce maybe a little bit more strictly the parking there. And in return, the trade-off will be that we will no longer restrict over on Franklin Street or Jackson Street, some of the block off, the edges of the downtown area. And we'll just give that a chance to see how it works. And before we decide to do anything further, because we had conversations about parking meters and parking kiosks and similar to what I see in Indianapolis or in Bloomington. And I just don't know that we're quite prepared to go there yet. There's a significant investment associated with those. Not sure that it pays. It's just something you do because you desire the effect. But before we get to there, we're going to try this stopgap measure and see how that works. So hopefully we get the answer we're looking for, which is a little more turnover on Washington Street, and keeps everybody happy with respect to the amount of time they can spend in the retail area we got downtown.
And just to be clear, it's as you said, no meters downtown, but you have a 2-hour limit?
Three-hour
limit downtown Columbus. Okay.
Which, you know, should be plenty. I mean, that worked for me. But
yeah. To shop, to eat, to walk around, and then let someone else come in and do the same.
Right.
Yeah. Well, let's get to Nexus Park. I know construction is ongoing. You've been hinting the last few months to wait till February, I think, because you're going to see a lot of steel that's on the way.
It's coming. You know, I get a little frustrated. I think everything should be done yesterday, but we're going to have an event on February 8th, late morning. I want to say 11 a.m., but I could be mistaken as to the specific time, but it's on February 8th in that approximate time frame. You know, I commented, we typically get, when we do a project at the start, there'll be a groundbreaking, and, you know, you get out there with what looks like a silver plated shovel. It's not silver, but it is shiny. And you dig a hole in the ground, or you get a shovel full of sand or gravel. And so, you know, that's typically how we start these projects. And so I've wanted to amass a collection of shovels. You know, I felt like that would be a great way to sort of mark my tenure here as mayor. But at any rate, this particular project, we're going to be doing some interior demolition to make way for some community rooms and our parks department offices and so forth. So instead of shovels, we chose sledgehammers. And so instead of a shiny shovel, we're going to have a shiny sledge. And those who are, you know, show up will be given an opportunity to take a whack at, you know, what had been part of the wall in the JCPenney space there at Nexus Park. So yeah, February 8th will be our next milestone date, so to speak. And yes, the contractors have been pouring their footers or footings, whatever the appropriate word is. And it's a fair amount of concrete going into the ground in preparation of steel erection. And I'm told that will happen either late February or the 1st of March. So we're going to be able to see something poking out of the ground here real soon, and pretty excited about it.
But also, City Council is busy looking ahead to be able to fund full-time positions, employees that are going to run that facility as well, right?
Yes, you know, our belief is that once Nexus Park is up and running, and I use the word mature, I don't know if that's exactly appropriate, but once we've filled the rental space to the extent that we can, we're confident that the place will pay for the people we hire to run it. It'll pay for the utilities and so on and so forth. And in addition to ongoing repairs and maintenance and capital upgrades. But there's always a little bit of a get ready or a ramp up, you know, period. And so that's what we're trying to address with this request for appropriation from the City Council. We anticipate that we might have to hire 4 or 5 people sometime this year, you know, and the timing will vary based upon the construction, how the construction progresses. And it'll vary based upon our ability to find these people. But somebody's going to have to pay them. While we're waiting for the facility to be completed, we need to have them on staff and ready to go so that we can begin to book events and then have them there on day one. We don't want to open the field house, for example, on January 1 of 24 and find out that, well, the field house manager isn't scheduled to arrive until mid-February. I mean, that isn't going to work for us. And so we have to hire these people, either in the second or third or fourth quarters of this year. And we've been given a lot of advice from people who've done this kind of thing before that you really do need to have these folks on board I wouldn't call it the tail end, but during the construction period or towards the end of the construction period. So they're just familiar with the facility. I mean, they know where the restrooms are, they know where the light switches are, and where some of that infrastructure that's usually behind the walls or in the floors where it's located. And so we'll start that process, but as everything, you know, you can imagine, I mean, it just takes some money to sort of get it started. And that's the reason for the request.
No, we just have a few minutes left. I wanted to get in the 1821 trail, close to being finished, I hear.
It is. That's our bicentennial legacy project. It's going to eventually, it will run from the riverfront project to the apartment project on 2nd Lafayette. But we've got a bunch of markers down there, interpretive markers that talk to the history of Columbus, that go back to 1821 or maybe even a little earlier, and sort of help people understand, you know, why Columbus is here and some of the important events that have occurred over the last 200 years. At nighttime, these are lit and they're quite attractive. Right now, it's a little chilly, you know, to go out there and walk around and take in the site. But once springtime gets here, it gets a little bit warmer, I'd encourage people to get down there around dusk or a little after, because it's a nice looking presentation and it really shines at night.
I know we just have about a minute left, but I want to be able to get in the State of the City address coming March 6th. So get that in your calendar, right?
March 6th. Right now we're looking March 6th at 6 p.m. The time may change or flex a little bit, but we're set on the date, March 6th. And, you know, one of the things we'll be able to celebrate is that we are the community of the year. We are really proud that the Indiana State Chamber of Commerce selected Columbus as its community of the year. So we're going to do a couple of things. One will be to look at backwards a little bit. I mean, as I think we all understand, this will be my last State of the City address. So we want to make it a big shindig, as they say. I want people to enjoy themselves and be reminded that we've got a lot done the last 7 years. And at this point, 1 month resulted in Community of the Year. We've got a few things left on the agenda to finish. And so we're going to get about those. But yeah, March 6th, about 6 p.m., come on down to the Commons and have some fun.
Thank you so much for your time. Appreciate it. And we'll see you next month.
You're welcome. Take care.